You're with us for the morning show as we take stock of our service to you on this first Monday of October. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So as COVID surges in our state, WPR brings you coverage from our reporters stationed all over the state and additional programming when news breaks. Why do you listen? What topics would you like to hear more about? What discussions would serve you and your community? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. We have WPR's Chief Operating Officer and Director of Content, Michael Arnold, for the hour. Michael, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first, give us a bit of a pandemic update from inside WPR, if you will. How is WPR operating in these times? How are its journalists and other departments managing?
Well, we're kind of distributed, I would have to say, is probably the best way to describe it. A lot of people working from various locations all over the state, in some cases from home. So that's basically the situation now. We've really been lucky that we made some technical upgrades right before the pandemic that have allowed a lot of people to broadcast from home, a lot of reporters to file from the field or from their house. But we seem to be doing pretty well. We have a few technical issues from time to time, but in general, it's working pretty well, and everybody seems to be healthy so far. So we're hoping for the best, and hope it'll continue.
Yeah, and kind of continuing then in this type of mode for foreseeable future.
Yeah, at least through the end of the year, but probably into next year as well. But it has not had a major impact on our service, thankfully. So we're very grateful for that. And we really have two goals here at WPR. One is to maintain our service, and the other one is to maintain the health of our staff. And that seems to be working out pretty well so far. And we feel very lucky for that.
Well, let's look at service a little more closely. HD radio service reduction. There was a recent change that has made, with some of our HD broadcasts. What changes can we expect there?
Yes, Wisconsin Public Radio and the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board will be turning off some of our secondary HD radio broadcasts on 7 of its 13 HD radio capable stations. Later this month, these stations carry the all classical service. Stations that will be affected are KUWS in Superior, WHSA in Brule, Superior, KUWS in Ashland, WHBM in Park Falls, WHWC in Menominee, Eau Claire, WHAA Adams, Wisconsin Rapids, and WHGI in Sister Bay. Now, that's just the all classical service, which was a secondary channel that you were able to get on those stations. It will not affect the main FM or AM radio stations. And so it actually will provide some cost savings. We found that not a whole lot of people were using those secondary channels. And so it allowed us to save a little bit of money. Imagine having like 60 hair dryers going nonstop 24/7. So basically we're saving a lot of money on electricity. The immediate savings include about $60,000 a year in electricity expenses alone, which is pretty amazing.
That's a lot. Yeah.
And in some cases it actually will be a benefit, because if you listen to the main channels on those stations, there actually may be some improvement in coverage, because the HD signal would reduce the coverage area of the station. So it's always unfortunate when we have to reduce service, but we did do some due diligence before we made that decision and decided to turn those off. For now, we do have HD radio broadcasts continuing on 6 stations, including WHAD in Milwaukee, WERN in Madison, WHHI in Highland, WHLA La Crosse, WHRM in Wausau, and WPNE in Green Bay.
Well, just to step back for just a moment, what did you take into consideration before you said, okay, we're going to turn off these HD services?
Well, one of the main things we did was take a look at audience. We do have the benefit of Nielsen Audio providing audio audience metrics for us. And one of the things we found is that there was no measurable audience for those stations, a very limited number of people actually listening to those HD channels. So because of that, we felt like it was relatively safe to make that decision. Also, if you're interested in continuing to listen to the all classical service and you're in one of those areas that's affected, you can still do that online at WPR.org. So we're hoping that it'll have a minimal impact on our service. And again, we're always it's always unfortunate that we sometimes will have to cut back service like this. But in this case, based on the Nielsen data, not a whole lot of people were using the service.
And some electricity savings there quite a bit in the meantime.
Yeah.
We are spending the hour with Michael Arnold, Chief Operating Officer of Wisconsin Public Radio, Director of Content. What questions or feedback do you have for WPR at this time? Why do you listen? What are your favorite things about WPR? Are you listening to podcasts or visiting online more? How has your listening changed amid the pandemic? Here's that number, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Michael, let's talk about something near and dear to my heart, Explorers Club, the new podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, podcast for kids, I might add, but adults like it too. What details can you share? And I'll pipe in here as we talk about Explorers Club.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when schools went virtual back in March, I know you were thinking about different ways you might be able to help out the kids who were at home, and you created the Explorers Club segment on WPR that included guests like R.L. Stine from Goosebumps. I have to admit, I'm a big R.L. Stine fan. we watched Goosebumps. We watched the TV version of quite a bit when my son was younger and read a lot of the books. And then also Chris Kratt from Wild Kratts. I think they used to have a show called Kratts Creatures too.
They did. That goes way back. But Wild
Old
Kratts
school.
Is right. Wild Kratts is a bit more cosmopolitan.
Yeah, exactly. that was back when my son was younger. And so basically, this has been turned into a 20 to 30 minute podcast that is available. So you can get it anytime you want, and you can find that by going to wpr.org/kids. Or you can go on iTunes or Google Play or other popular podcast sites to find the Explorers Club podcast. It's really cool.
It's been so much fun. And I know, my kids were just over the moon that we were going to devote some programming hours to kids. And, when I talked about it with my kids, I said, you know, just give me like your A-listers, if you will. Like, who would you love to talk with on the radio? And their eyes got really big, really, really wide. And they just started like spouting off names. And I'm like, we can ask. And we did. And, the rest is history. Just had some really great conversations for the Explorers Club. And now that has morphed into this fabulous podcast series. And it's just such a pleasure to be part of. And I'm really excited that, you know, WPR is connecting with kids. My kids came home with a bag that was sent home to kids, and the words on one of the printed packets said, "Let's draw." And even the words "let's draw" just evoked, you know, like, oh my goodness, that's WPR inside of that. It makes me very happy that we are thinking about our younger listeners, our backseat listeners, because they are, you know, the next generation of listeners who will, you know, come up through WPR, and we have to think about them.
And I was surprised by R.L. Stine, I'll have to let you know. I don't know what I expected him to sound like, but didn't he insist on you calling him Bob?
Oh, yeah, Bob. Yeah,
yeah.
We were, on the Bob basis. And boy, yeah, he got feisty and fun, and you never knew it was going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah, I thought he was going to sound like Dracula or something, but he didn't. He just sounded like Bob.
We're talking with Chief Operating Officer, Director of Content, Michael Arnold. He is our guide. Questions to keep conversation flowing here. Have you been listening to our COVID coverage? What is the most useful to you as you navigate these times? What do you need more of as we experience this pandemic together? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with WPR's Michael Arnold right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. It's time to have your voice shine through on this first Monday of October. Can you believe it's October already? We're visiting with WPR's Chief Operating Officer, Michael Arnold, and exploring the news inside WPR, gathering your comments, your questions on your listening experience. How do you connect with WPR? How and where do you listen? For me, it's like My smart speaker is strategically placed in my kitchen, in my porch, in my bedroom. What questions do you have about programming? Join in any point, 800-642-1234. Michael Arnold stays with us through the hour. Michael, let's look at some of our special programming here. First, presidential debates and our election coverage with the election right around the corner. What does coverage look like on our air for presidential debates?
Yeah, we have plans to air all the debates that are available. I think we're still figuring out what's going to happen next with that, with the president being diagnosed with COVID-19. But we will be carrying those. We also have the debate. I'm trying to find this in my note here real quick. We do have the vice presidential debate coming up on Wednesday. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's on both NPR and Music and also the Ideas Network. So that'll be the next one. And we're going to bring you everyone we can, because it's an important part of the presidential campaign. So we'll be airing that on WPR.
What plans are in place to air the Senate confirmation hearings for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett?
Whenever that starts happening, we will be airing some opening statements and also some hearings on that. Those will be heard on the NPR News and Music Network and online at WPR.org. So you can hear that. Also, the Ideas Network will be providing analysis and discussion about that.
And we've also been carrying the special coverage that NPR has been providing with the president's health status amid his COVID. And certainly heard that yesterday.
We did, on
the network. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as that develops, we'll probably have some special coverage from that if it's available as well.
We're talking with Michael Arnold here, Chief Operating Officer of Wisconsin Public Radio, Director of Content, taking your questions through the hour. What do you hear on WPR? What do you like? What do you want to hear less of? Fielding all of that, 800-642-1234. Continuing on this election track here, candidate interviews. As far as a local election, how is the Ideas Network giving airtime to candidates on the ballot? What's the plan?
We have all the congressional districts represented in different ways. Last week, you may have caught on Friday on the morning show, the first congressional district. I know, because you were there. The second congressional district is going to be on Central Time. The third will be on Central Time. The fourth congressional district will be coming up on Friday on the morning show at 8 in the morning. We'll also hear from the fifth congressional district and basically all the way up to the 8th, including some the 6th congressional district on the 30th, the 7th on the 23rd on the morning show, and then the 8th on the morning show on Wednesday. So we'll have a lot of that. Also, another thing that an advantage we have here at WPR is we do have our regional stations, and they've featured a lot of the state Senate and assembly election specials. And listeners in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district will be able to hear a debate between Ron Kind and Derek Van Orden on October 26th at 10 a.m. on the Ideas Network in our Western, Southwestern, and Central region. So we're able to kind of zone that coverage for people in that congressional district. It's pretty cool.
That's very valuable too, especially for people in that district who want to hear those voices and want to hear a debate.
Yeah, and it's also important to remember that if you want to catch up on any of those things, or if you miss them, because I'm sure that you're not writing down the dates that I mentioned, you can listen live or you can listen later at WPR.org/politics. We have a politics page that basically has all of our coverage of everything that's going on. It's a really good place to go as a resource to find out what's happening in politics in the state as we're in this exciting election season.
Yeah, and I would also like to say the morning show is also talking with third-party presidential candidates leading up to November 3rd. We just last week talked with the candidate Don Blankenship from the Constitution Party, and we'll be hearing more of those types of conversations as well leading up to the election.
Yeah, it's a very important part of the service we provide here at Wisconsin Public Radio, so we're happy to have that.
Well, let's look at programming changes. There was a laundry list of programming changes, and now we're in the thick of it here as we are getting later into fall. Can you remind us what has changed for weekday programming on the Ideas Network?
probably one of the biggest changes was On Point. On Point used to be a 2-hour show, and we aired it live from 9 to 11. It moved down to an hour, and so we moved it to the afternoon, and now we're hearing 1A from 9 to 11. A lot of people say they really enjoy that program. It's really, Jen Wright White is a great host. If you're in the Chicago area, you may have remembered her from being a host on WBEZ. So that's kind of exciting. On Point is on Monday through Thursday from 1 to 2. And then we also added a show called The Takeaway from 2 to 3 from New York. And then on Friday, we still have Science Friday with Ira Flatow. We also added a special version of 1A, which is 1A Plus. And that is weekday evenings at 6, right after Central Time.
Yes. Go ahead.
And there's some weekend changes, too. You may have noticed that Live From Here is out of production. We'll miss hearing Chris Thiel every week. But Thiel, or however you say his name, I don't know what's wrong. It's too early for me.
That's all right.
I don't know why. Yeah, it's Thiel-y, exactly. And we have two well-known storytelling programs on the Ideas Network. You can hear Snap Judgment at 5 and the Moth Radio Hour at 6. On the NPR music service, we hear The Road to Higher Ground with Dr. Jonathan Overby, which starts Saturday evenings at 5. So if you wondered who the new Garrison Keillor was going to be, we now know it's Dr. Jonathan Overby. It's a great show.
Oh, it is. Gosh, we love that in our household. I was so happy with that move. So
Yeah. And it can be heard in Milwaukee on the Ideas Network at 7 p.m. on Saturday nights too. So we have a couple places where you can hear Dr. Overby's show. Only a Game. Remember that sports show that they used to do in Boston? Well, that's gone now. And we added On Being at 6 in the morning with Krista Tippett. The program is about life's enduring questions. And we also have It's Been a Minute with Sam Sanders on at 7 on Sunday morning. So a lot of moving around, and a lot of this has to do with I don't know what it has to do with, but basically a lot of things happening with the national programs that are available to us. So we had to make some adjustments to address that.
Yeah. Kind of all flowing downstream. We heard from Steve in Boulder Junction, couldn't stay with us. And Steve wonders if there's a place to go online to see what the Nielsen ratings are for various WPR shows, or if the station will be releasing any of that ratings data.
There really isn't. There are some sites that will have sort of basically overall numbers that you can search for online, but there's not really a place that shows specific data for WPR. And we traditionally don't share that either, partly due to the contract we have with Nielsen as a non-commercial service. So we do not, there's not really any place on the web where you can see that data, unfortunately.
All right, well, let's look a little bit at demographics. A year ago, WPR started tracking the sources and the guests on air and emailing them a survey asking for basic demographic information. Why was it decided to track this type of data?
Well, one of the things that we're interested in doing is reflecting Wisconsin, and not just reflecting our audience, but reflecting the general population of Wisconsin. And one of the ways we see that as being done is by having people who reflect the diversity of the state in our programming. And this is something that a lot of newsrooms around the country are working on, as we get a better an understanding of who we talk to every day and the type of diversity or lack thereof that we have in our stories and segments. So we started tracking that. We've tracked it in a lot of different ways over the years, but I think over the past year, we've figured out a really good system where we just survey people after they've been on the air and ask a few questions about their race and ethnicity, gender, and their zip code. And it's very valuable for the news department, because I think if you think about us as a public broadcaster, we really are responsible to serving the whole public and reflecting the whole public. And the data that we saw suggests we still have some work to do. About 87% or 88% of the people on air who took the survey over the last year were white. Gender is evenly split, which is unusual compared to some other stations. It's unusual to have it 50-50 male, female, but we see that with our tracking. And we had a small number of sources who said they were transgender as well. And so basically the other thing that we're tracking is the zip code part. And we found that because of our bureau model, where we have seven bureaus across the state, we are doing a pretty good job of reflecting sort of geographic diversity around the state. A lot of different Wisconsin zip codes are being represented in the data. And you can find that information online. We do have that posted on WPR.org.
We're visiting with WPR's head of content, Michael Arnold. He's fielding your questions, your comments through the hour. Have you listened to our COVID-19 coverage? How are we doing with it? What do you find most useful as you navigate these days? What do you want more of or less of? Conversation right here. You have a line, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Michael Arnold right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're exploring all things WPR and making room to talk on this first Monday of October here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're running the gamut with WPR's Chief Operating Officer, Michael Arnold, and hearing from you, what topics would you like to hear more about? What conversations would you benefit from? What do you appreciate or want to hear less of on the NPR News and Music Network and or the Ideas Network? Join into the discussion any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael Arnold stays with us for the next half hour. Let's take a call now. Chris is joining us from Madison. Hi there, Chris.
Hi. I'm sorry to go negative, as it were, but I'm just finding so many mistakes and very odd things that are on the air that just don't happen. And I'm thinking particularly of shows that that are announced as being at this certain time, and then they're not on the subject at all. And then the weekend before this past one, they had this endless loop of advertisements that went on for over an hour on both Saturday night and Sunday night during the BBC. Sorry, but I get the sense that it's almost chaos and that I've got to call listener service when I hear information just to be sure it's actually going to happen.
Chris, thank you. And let's get Michael in here to respond.
Yeah, first, I just want to apologize to Chris for all of that. We do have occasional, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are operating in a very different way here at WPR, where a lot of people are all over the place. And from time to time, we have had some difficulties due to COVID-19. I think we generally do a pretty good job of catching those things, sometimes in overnights. Because of the kind of alarms we have set up to let us know about those things, we don't always know, particularly the case that you mentioned where there were announcements that were airing over and over again. When we are in overnight hours, when people aren't necessarily awake, we have a thing called a silent sensor. And if there's silence, it will call people up and wake them up and they'll fix it pretty quickly. There have been some times where we have had announcements continue to air, or the same announcement at the same time, that hasn't caused silence. So people weren't alerted to that. The upside to this, though, is that there is hope in the future. We're in the process of probably within the next 6 months or so, we will be upgrading our system to have a more reliable system for that. It's been an issue that we've been struggling with for quite a long time. And we are going to be changing the system that we use for that. And we're hoping that in the future, that'll be more reliable. We're also doing a lot of work to make sure we can capture things, even if there isn't silence involved as well. So I hope you'll bear with us, because that is something that we're hoping to address in the near future.
And, so, Chris, you know, thanks, yeah. Chris, thanks. And we are operating in this engineering feat, if you will, amid COVID, doing things that we just never thought imaginable on the engineering end.
I mean, just to give an example of that right now, I mean, my voice probably sounds a little unusual. Normally, in normal times, back before COVID-19, Kate and I would be in the same room looking at each other, talking into broadcast microphones. Actually, right now, Kate is in the studio, and I am in a remote location, sitting in front of a computer in a completely, entirely different place. And part of that is because it's important for us to keep people safe. So the idea of me sitting in a studio with Kate, even if we had masks on, would probably be a little unusual and would sound strange. But the fact that because of COVID-19, and as I said before, the primary goals that we have right now during COVID-19 at WPR is the safety of our staff and maintaining our service. That's why we're doing it this way, but it really puts a lot of stress on our engineering staff, and we're just so grateful to them because although we do have some errors, they're always happy to wake up in the middle of the night and figure things out and fix it. We're just really lucky to have the team of people we have right now. And then they are kind of stressed out a little bit, I'll have to admit, because there's a lot of stuff going on.
And Chris from Madison, I understand that you're still there and you have one follow-up question. Is that right?
Yes, and thank you for allowing that. And by the way, I know exactly, or not exactly, I have a pretty good idea what you guys are dealing with. And I'm pretty impressed.
Thank you.
Now, last weekend was, you were still in your pledge drive, and on Saturday, I'll pick a particular show. On Saturday, you gave us "Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me," which was one of their rerun shows. I won't say crappy rerun shows, but let's think of it that way.
Carry on.
And then
maybe they should call it that.
No, I think they dress it up more.
I wouldn't put it past them. You know.
But on Sunday when I listened, they had a new show for the week. And I find that I've seen that happen before during pledge drives. And I feel like you're giving us second rate stuff just for the sake of the show. I think that's an actual moral question or ethical question. Let's keep
right
there.
Right.
I really wish that you would, endeavor as much as you can to put the new material on if they're making it available.
All right.
Yeah,
Chris,
in most cases, Chris, we probably would do it that way. Because of the technical nature of everything, typically Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me provides it, or well, they always do provide a special fundraising edition that we use during member drives. And our standard practice a lot of times has been to use the fresh show, the one that feeds and makes some adjustments sort of on the fly with everything. But because of the technical issues this time around, we had to use the fundraising show just to make the timings work out. And because we had, during the pledge drive, we had people all over the place, a lot of people from their houses. So in order to make sure that would be reliable, we had to use the pledge drive show. So I really appreciate that point too, Chris. Thank you so much.
We're talking with Michael Arnold, Chief Operating Officer of Wisconsin Public Radio and Director of Content on this edition. You can join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Michael, getting back to newsroom demographics, as we were talking earlier about surveying the guests that we have on, we have a source librarian now in the news department. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Hannah Haynes will be working as a source librarian, researching, finding, and compiling sources for reporters in the newsroom. So it'll provide some additional support to our reporters. They're helping to build a system to compile sources who are currently underrepresented in our demographic data and that can be referred to back on a regular basis. Some of this is just sort of good old-fashioned community engagement, trying to find different people around the state that we should be talking to. And the Ideas Network is incorporating some conversations about demographics of their sources into daily planning meetings as well, in an effort to increase diversity in a lot of different ways, whether it's racial diversity or people from different parts of the state. So there's some additional work that's been done with that, which I think will really do a better job of helping us reflect the diversity of Wisconsin in our programming, which is really an important thing for us to do.
And when you think about the sheer number of guests that we interview, I mean, on our show alone, we're tracking 1,300 guests this year on the morning show.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's up from last year when we brought on a little over 1,100 guests. So that is a lot of people at our table. And we want to make sure that we're bringing a wealth of voices from all over. But I think it's just astounding that we are talking with that many people each year just on our individual one show.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is.
Well, let's bring in David now in Duluth. Hi, David.
Hello?
Hi, David. You're here. Yep.
Yeah, I was listening to Robert Father Knows Best, and they're talking to a family on shortwave. It reminded me of a show where they called in their homework on a farm in Australia by shortwave or ham or something. Why didn't the government do that for, Federal Writers Project to forecast coming to the coronavirus, you know, coming that we've had, like, attacks on America and the power grid and other things? It's so simple. They could call in being on a boat with a red purse, a dog.
Okay. I want to have Michael respond here. You know, producing educational shows where I think we started there with kids calling in their homework questions.
Yeah. There have been some stations over the years that have done those kind of things. At this point, I don't think we have any plans for something like that, but it tends to be done a lot in areas that are more remote. For example, in Alaska, there are a lot of broadcasters that are doing things like that. They're providing more specific information. I know that many PBS stations help students with homework in different ways. I apologize to our friends at PBS Wisconsin. I'm not certain if that's a service we provide or not, but I know that there are a lot of ways for public media to engage with students in that way. So it definitely is something that exists. At this point, I don't think we have plans for that here at WPR, although you never know.
We're spending the hour with WPR's Chief Operating Officer, Michael Arnold. Still time for your questions, feedback about programming, other developments at WPR. Do you listen in the kitchen or on the commute to work? Do you listen on a smart speaker or in your makeshift home office? Does classical music soothe you between Zoom calls? I'm getting really personal here on this. What programming is most useful to you? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. News, talk, music. We're talking about the work of WPR here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. On this first Monday of October, we open up the lines, make space for your questions, your feedback. We have WPR's Chief Operating Officer, Content Director Michael Arnold with us. Let's get back to the calls. Now, Keith is here from Appleton. Hi, Keith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We are typically all-day listeners of the news and classical service. And one thing that I guess we find annoying is we'll hear a program segment, let's say in the morning show, and then it gets repeated during the All Things Considered segment in the afternoon. Or I'm getting my timing right. It might be that sometimes there's stuff that's produced in the afternoon show, and then we hear it the next morning as well. I realize you need to shepherd your resources and try to be frugal in terms of producing segments, but I wish we didn't have to hear repeats of the same segment the next day.
Wait, are you saying like you hear something on All Things Considered and you hear the similar content on Morning Edition?
The same, just almost a repeat. I mean, sometimes we've heard a segment on during the morning edition, local segment, and then during All Things Considered's local segment, we'll hear the exact same thing or something very similar.
Yeah. With a lot of... Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that does happen from time to time, and part of the reason is to reach people with that story as much as we can. And since there is a slightly different audience in morning and then afternoon, there are times when we may air things twice that way. And I'm sorry we'll definitely keep that in mind in the future, because I think we don't want to do that too much. But there are times when that does happen. Sometimes they're newscast items that you might hear during a newscast in the afternoon and hear it again in the morning, for example. Again, we wouldn't air anything that was out of date, but we do that sometimes to reach people with a story. But I appreciate your call about that, Keith. That's something for us to keep an ear out for.
Yeah, and thank you for that dedicated listening. We appreciate that. David from Amherst called, couldn't stay with us. David wants On Point back on for 2 hours.
Yeah, I think there are probably a lot of people who would like that, and unfortunately it's not possible. On Point is now just a one-hour show. And that was a decision made by the producer WBUR in Boston. Used to be a 2-hour talk show. Now it's a 1-hour show that relies less on talk. And I believe that was made partly because they thought it would be a stronger show if it were an hour. But I also think there may have been some budget issues related to that. So unfortunately, it's impossible to have a 2-hour On Point anymore because it's now a 1-hour program.
Let's bring in Mona now in Madison. Good morning, Mona.
Good morning. Hi, thank you. I have a question. I used to, before COVID, do a lot of traveling between Madison, where I live, and Illinois and Minnesota. And
yeah.
When I switched, I always listen to NPR, of course, on the road. When I switched to different broadcasting areas, a lot of times they're repeating the program I just heard. Not repeating it, but they're playing the program I just heard in the area I left. Have you ever considered coordinating anything any better than that with, like, nearby broadcast areas? So when someone has to switch, they're not listening to the same thing?
It's difficult. It's really difficult, Mona. I mean, one of the things that's interesting and sort of fun about public radio is that every station decides what they air, when they air it. And the downside to that is there's no consistent service from place to place. So the challenge, there's a real challenge, I think, in coordinating in that way with other stations. But like PBS and actually, you know, a lot of national news services or national TV services will have shows on at the same time. But that's not how it works in public radio. It gives us the independence of being able to pick times based on what we think is best for our audience. But it can be challenging, particularly when you drive around a lot like that. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for you, Mona, I guess you won't be driving around much for a while. So you could just listen to us all the time. Just a joke, a little COVID-19 joke for you. But yeah, it's never been... There are some programs that tend to air at the same times on all stations, like Morning Edition, All Things Considered. Even like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and some other shows. But in general, it's kind of the Wild West and stations program however they want. And I've been in programming and public radio for like 30 years now. And we program directors don't always get along in terms of figuring out the schedules anyway. So coordinating that is really difficult. And unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Mona, thank you. Let's bring in Nancy, who is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Hello on this sunny morning. I am calling to protest the inclusion of these little Wisconsin Life segments. I find that in recent years, you've had to bring on so many additional sponsors. There's really hardly any time for the guests to expand upon his or her topic or theme. And to introduce these little segments of Wisconsin Life is just taking up more time away from the guest. I find them all totally useless.
Okay. So Nancy appreciates more longer conversations with the guests who come on the morning show, I would assume, in particular. Is that right, Nancy?
Yes, but yeah. I find them, the content is sometimes so ridiculous.
Okay, and I want to let Michael here respond to that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we try to provide a lot of different things as part of WPR. The Wisconsin Life segments are a way of of highlighting different aspects of life in the state. And we air those on the Ideas Network. We try to do that in a way that doesn't take away from the conversations. And we are aware of the fact that that people are interested in spending as much time with the guests as possible. And we've tried to schedule those in a way that it has a limited impact on that. The other thing to remember is it is one of those things where, while you know, some people may not always like Wisconsin Life, there are a lot of people who really love it. Mm. And I think that's kind of how it is with a lot of things on WPR. And so we try to balance those things and provide different perspectives on things. And I'm sorry, Nancy, that you feel that the guests aren't given enough time, because that is something that we have thought about a lot. And you may have noticed on the morning show, we are giving guests a lot more time these days. So it's, you know, we try to balance that out as much as possible. So thanks for that comment.
Let's bring in Kenneth in Janesville. Hi there, Kenneth.
Hello. You took off the classic radio program on the weekend, and I was hoping that it could be substituted by a modern drama.
Oh, old-time radio drama. And let's let Michael jump in here.
So you're thinking that having modern drama might be something, a way to continue to have that, right, Kenneth?
Right. I've heard about it being popular in other parts of the country, but it's completely modern.
Right. And the one of the challenges is there aren't a whole lot of those available to stations. Radio drama is something that, although we had pretty significant commitment to it here at WPR, there aren't a lot of modern contemporary drama programs available for radio. Part of it is it's expensive to do. And the other part of it is there are a lot of stations that have stopped completely airing drama. It doesn't mean we couldn't think about that in the future, though, Kenneth. I appreciate you calling with that idea. That's a good one.
Well, I want to give a shout out here before we have to go to the Wisconsin Book Festival. So many of our colleagues here, my host colleagues and journalists, are interviewing authors throughout the festival. So Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are kind of becoming virtual. I think the book festival is going to be virtual, but we will have many program hosts and guests interviewing authors as part of that. We also have a number of virtual events that we're making available to mm-hmm. you. On October 13th at 11 a.m., Lori Skelton from our NPR Music Service will be talking about musician, conductor, and composer William Grant Still. We also have a reporter roundtable planned on October 29th with Noah Obshinsky, joined by reporters in conversation about the 2020 election. And then on November 19th at noon, Kate, you'll be interviewing Jen White of 1A,
yeah,
which is the show that's coming up next. so if you want to see that, you can do that. But if you want to find out more about those things, you can go to WPR.org/presents.
Michael, thank you. Good to talk with you.
Well, it's great to talk with you, too. It's unfortunate that we're not in person, but this is the next best thing, isn't it?
It is. Michael Arnold, Chief Operating Officer, Head of Content here at WPR. Mike Crane is Director of WPR Away today. Either one of them make a date with us on the morning show the first Monday of each quarter. The next installment of Mondays with Mike is Central Time on November 2nd. Just ahead, it is 1A. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.